The following is a recording from the CFRU archives. This time it's These Things That People Make from January 6, 2011. Please enjoy and tune in to These Things That People Make every Thursday at 10 a.m.
Listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. These Things That People Make is a show about anything that somebody makes that's not considered fine art, and the ideas and politics behind why they do those things. And I'm your host. My name's Sarah, and I'm really happy to be back in the studio this week. My show kept going, but I was away. Last week you heard from a show that I pre-produced on the road. It was a show about dollhouses. And this week I'm going to air an interview that I did originally about a year ago with Dave End, who is a fabulous musician and artist, and I'm not interviewing him about his music because that's what he normally talks about. I'm interviewing him about the things that he sews. And before we do that, to give some context to Dave's music and work, I'm going to play a song called End by Queen. Dave currently lives in San Francisco, recently wrote, directed, and did all the costumes for a musical called Faggots the Musical. And in this case, Faggots is an acronym. I'm wondering if I can remember all the parts of it. I don't think I'm going to be able to right off the top of my head, but maybe I'll do some research. So he's this wonderful queer activist, craftsperson, musician who I had the pleasure of touring with a couple of times and hanging out with a lot more. And so I'm going to play End by Queen, and then we'll get to the interview.
And by queen you thought they all meant royalty, like they knew your potential. Like your high school was a self-help book written on bathroom stalls and pencil. And you knew as long as they kept talking shit, you could succeed. And by fairy you thought they knew about your wings. Children and the thinning hair. And isn't that you way up here, pretending like it got you nowhere? So you packed up your FA and their G and their T, and you moved it into the country. Now you wonder why you compare yourself to the Hudson River. Then you remember they put their waist in you, and though your currents tried to fight it by looking at all the pieces of glass that used to be shiny, your shores, they cannot hide it. And isn't that one of them way down there with the beautiful children and the thinning hair? And isn't that you way up here, pretending like you still don't care? 'Cause in order to fly, you gotta have something to rise above. And is it okay that you have to have hate to have self-love? And yes, that is one of them down there, and that is one of them way down there, and you still don't care, and it got you nowhere.
Stuffed animal making relate to your music playing?
One of the things that I spend a lot of time discussing in my art and music making is self-love, the idea of self-love and exploration of the self. And one of the reasons I started making stuffed animals was to sort of like externally manifest ways I thought about myself. Like I went through sort of an intense period of time in college where I became really excited about the ideas of like manifesting the real world and the stuffed world and like recreating reality through fabric. You know, having some control over like being able to constitute your own reality through like making stuffed animals.
And so what did you make stuffed animals of? What do you make stuffed animals of? Could you actually, let's back up. Can you tell me a bit of like how you started out making them?
Totally.
What they looked like, what inspired you to do it, and then the where you are now.
Okay. So the first time I made stuffed animals, I had had a surgery. I was going to have a surgery, and I was going to have to be laid up in bed for about 2 weeks. So I just decided that I was going to start sewing stuffed animals while I was in bed, because I had all this great time to kind of work on it. And so what I did was I just went and bought a bunch of fabric and some sewing needles and some thread. And I started originally because I was having stomach surgery at the time, and part of that was losing a lot of weight. And I ended up losing, you know, quite a bit of weight in a really short period of time, and then having to kind of like deal with people being like, oh, you look so great, when I knew that I was really unhealthy. So the first few ones that I was making were these really chubby, blue, little, like, kind of drag queen stuffed animals that had stitches on their stomachs. I made these, like, special stomachs that were extra fat, and they had stitching in the same place that I had stitching on my stomach. And it was, for me, just sort of a, like, to kind of like express how like what it was like to lose weight and also to just create this other little creature that was kind of like myself, but that was, you know, like still chubby and cute and having fun. And they were all sort of posed so that it looked like they were like showing off, you know, like that they were making these like grand gestures. Because I was, you know, like laid up in bed and sort of pathetic. And then I got to have these like chubby little friends in my bed. I made probably like 6 or 7 of them. And I like put them in my bed with me and we watched movies and it was really cute.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then from there, where did your stuffed animal process go? Or your stuffed person process?
Yes. Well, for a while in college, I took a lot of sculpture classes, and I did a lot of sewing for those. So I did a few different projects, one where I just covered an entire wall in fleece fabric and stuffed it so that, like, when you would walk by it, you could give it a hug, like, basically just sort of, like, trying to bend the shapes around me and to make them more comfortable seeming. That was one project I did. Another project is I started sort of blending the stuffed animals with clothing. So I would like, I did a project where I made, I had to, an assignment for school where I had to make a sculpture for a private space. And I made this like custom made fleece underwear to make the private space more public. So I worked with 5 different models and I would have like really intimate fittings where, like, you know, they would be naked and I would like pin the fabric on their bodies and we would like sort of talk about what they wanted. And then I made 5 different pairs of underwear that represented the 5 different senses. And the point was to, you know, again, like amplify the private space. So to bring the private parts into the public. So for one of them, I made this little stuffed animal that jumped out of the front of one of the underwear. So it kind of, there's this like protrusion under people's pants. And then in another one, I sewed a touch light onto it, like one of those lamps that if you touch it, it turns on so that there would be this like light emanating from someone's crotch. And then I made one with jingle bells. So like everywhere you went, you know, there would be this like noise. And then one where you could store food. So, you know, like the smell sense where you could have like a bagel with cream cheese and smoked salmon like in your crotch.
Amazing.
To see like what that was like. So, you know, I did a lot of that kind of stuff for school. And then in my free time, I think I started getting more into taking found fabric and found objects. And I would make, like, sock sheeps. And, like, you know, because my body was changing so much, when I would get too fat for a pair of pants, I would turn it into a stuffed animal. Or, like, if my pants wouldn't fit me anymore because I got too thin, then I would, you know, make a stuffed animal. And it became this sort of way of holding on to old clothing that I really loved a lot, but also still like getting to turn it into something new and exciting and keep it in my life in a way. And for a while also, because of my like hand sewing experience, I got much better at altering my clothing. And so when all of this stuff was going on with my body, I also like knew more about how to make clothes that didn't fit me again. And that was really empowering, and I highly recommend it to anybody who fluctuates in weight.
I wanted to come back to looking at just, like, how making replicas of ourselves in different forms in communities where we don't see fair representations of ourselves.
Yes.
And, like, how you feel about those things.
Yeah. Well, one of the stuffed animals that I made over the years was this. It was essentially like a tiny me called Little Dave, who I still to this day have in my bedroom and sleep with every night. And I think because like fabric is such a like malleable thing, and because like by the time you're done sewing something for an hour and a half, you actually have like a little friend that you can like carry around. I think it becomes really, really important to representation, because you can sort of represent yourself the way you see yourself, and also have the kind of trial and error as you try to figure out like how to sew technically and how you want things to look and how you want to put together panels and things that that kind of blends the like crafting spirit with the recreation spirit and the like identity and representation. I think it makes a lot of sense because I am you know, like a queer body positive musician, that I also make stuffed animals, because it is sort of a different way of technically crafting something to see yourself more in the world and to be able to also craft the way people see yourself with what you can make. I also wanted to say that the project that I did with nude models was in college, when I felt really alienated because I didn't think that there were many people like around to be having sex with or to be dating or that I could sort of see myself in. And that project was, you know, because they said, like, make a sculpture for private space. Part of that project was choosing the people I wanted to model for me naked and to find people that I might not be able to, like, you know, have a naked interaction with otherwise, but to sort of couch it within art and to be like, oh, this is my art project. Like, and, you know, for those people, it made perfect sense. It was like, oh, of course, like, it's for an art project. I get this, you know, and so I think that the art brought a sort of legibility into the process where I was able to, like, spend time with people naked that I would not have otherwise gotten to and that I, like, had a desire to. And it sort of crafted this really neat space for me to be able to, like, get what I wanted and to, like, experience the kind of love that I otherwise might not have been able to.
I think in my experience of art school, like I got to see a lot of different bodies in my first few years in life drawing class.
Right.
And just like a lot of older women.
Right.
And learned a lot about the body in this really like this space that was like, yes, we are here to make art. And we were. But I also learned a lot about bodies and also appreciated a lot about the beauty of bodies that I don't think I would have had any other opportunity to see.
Absolutely.
And led me to do my own nude modeling and been like, whatever, like, it's just like one of the only places in life where it's like, my body's acceptable. I just take my clothes off.
Right.
I don't have to shave. I can if I want to. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just supposed to sit here. And there's no weight or size or anything requirements. There's just like, I need to be still. You know?
Totally. And I think that you get a better sense of what you're, when you're not dealing with the restraints of, like, actual bodies, and when you can, like, create fictional bodies, I think it sort of, like, shines a really interesting perspective on real bodies. And, you know, I think it's really healthy to, like, see what you can make a body look like in fabric. And then also, I think, always leads me to return to my own body and be like, yay! And, like, the way that it is. And I feel like, you know, fictionally exploring boundaries and bodies and sizes and shapes always leads me back to, like, being really excited about my own body and the way that, you know, it is already created in space.
I'm really glad that you brought up altering clothes and how you learned more about how to alter clothes through making stuffed people or animals.
Yeah.
Just that also, like, we need to alter our clothes often, and also just, like, what are you going to do? What am I going to do with these pairs of pants I don't fit into anymore? Recently, I've definitely been sad when, like, a whole series of T-shirts do not fit me, and right. Been angry at myself for being too big to fit into them. So I think, like, having, like, a loving response, being like, you're going to make something out of these things so that you can hold on to the memories of the things that you did in these T-shirts, even though you can't wear the T-shirt anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you learn a few different kinds of stitching, and then it really, like, unlocks the potential of anything fabric and anything fabric being combined, or, you know, like, you feel like there's a few building blocks to sewing, especially hand sewing is really simple, and you can do anything. And it is. It's so important to be able to, like, change the world around you when it doesn't fit you, and it's a really tangible way that you can do that.
And it's cheap.
It's very inexpensive, totally.
I think, too, like, it becomes this, like, maybe non-intentional, but it becomes non-intentional, like, body or fat activism to alter your own clothes.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you sing about this, but it is incredibly difficult for people to find clothes.
Right.
To wear, even if they can afford them. And so being able to alter things just means that you're not so reliant on finding, like, something that's designed for you in the store.
I was having a really funny conversation with one of my friends who's a fat activist the other day, and she was talking about, like, you know, sort of joking around and going into department stores where nothing would fit her and being like, I'll take three of these and a seam ripper. You know, just the idea that you can, like, go in and just, like, when the world doesn't, like, accommodate you, that you can just be like, you know, I'll take five of those tiny shirts that won't fit anybody but the people that you're, like, you know, trying to advertise on their bodies, and then I'll just do it myself. Like, if you're not going to do it, I can do it. You know,
yeah.
And it does. It's sort of a badass, like, DIY ethic of just taking things apart and putting them back together and not waiting for the world to accommodate you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important. And,
when you're sitting outside the place you work, you start thinking all men are not jerks.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, and I am replaying an interview I did last year with folk hero, musician, and craftsperson Dave End. And we're going to go right back to that interview so we have time to keep the whole thing in the show.
Certainly a lot of like online networks of like hand altered clothes and sort of like custom made clothing and things that fit larger sizes that have happened outside of the sort of plus size clothing, like conventional plus size clothing. I don't even know what the business word is for it, I guess industry, that are fashionable and fun and that reflect the people that wear them, just like everybody else has the opportunity to sort of consume things and craft their identities through clothing.
Can you name any of those?
There's one really amazing clothing store that I've done some shopping at that's been really revolutionary called Redress in Brooklyn, New York, which is larger than size 14, incredibly fashionable, amazing clothing, Redress. And then there are online blogs like Fashionista. There's the Fat Girl Flea, which is an organization. I'm not sure if it's based out of one particular city, but trying to think of some other ones. I would say just kind of Googling like DIY clothes alteration or fat positive clothing or some other stuff like that. Yeah, I'm sorry I don't have like more resources.
That's okay. That's a good list. That's a good start from like just from your own brain for sure.
Those places would have links to other places.
Awesome. What, yes. Do you have any like future sewing projects or clothes altering projects you're thinking about these days?
I do. I'm sorry, there's a church bell in the background or a college church. I'm on a college campus. I do. More recently, I don't think I discussed this yet, have been doing costume design.
Awesome.
For various performances. I recently did some performances with Kimya Dawson, and I have a dance troupe that I'm a part of with five other musicians from New York, and we do backup dancing. We have done some at some of her performances in New York, and I like teamed up with a few of my friends, and we made all of these like body suits that looked like big dinosaur characters with like all these sort of like crazy embellishments, like horns and scales. And that was really, really fun. We also made these like suede shark hoodies, and, you know, sort of to like be given a song and to listen to it by a performer that you like, and then to be able to figure out what you can make with fabric that like reflects the mood of that song has been really fun.
Yeah.
There was one other thing that I think can be really empowering. This idea I came up with one day where I just took a laundry bag and I cut four holes in it, and then I cinched up the neck, and I found out that you can make these really cool little like dresses or shirts, or even just these kind of like little, they make you look like a little marshmallow peep or something, like these little bags that are cute. And I've done a lot of costume designs with that sort of stuff, and that's really easy and DIY, and fits a much, much, much larger range of people. So, you know, it worked really well because there were different sizes bodies in our troops, and we were able to accommodate a lot more people without sort of having to buy into corporate fashion where there would be different sizes.
Yeah.
That felt really exciting. And in the future, I'm working on a musical right now. And that musical is about identity politics and hate crimes and hate words. And so one of the things that I'm doing is kind of visually manifesting some of the hate speech that people use in a way that defines the literal definition of that word. Like, we're talking about the other F word. And to, like, visually manifest what that means to me, to kind of shock people at the end of it, but also just to, like, kind of struggle with the word and through the word, like, struggling with the costume and be able to, like, put some empirical time into this kind of, like, vague notion that hurts my feelings sometimes. So,
what has it meant for you as a performer who plays music to also be bringing a lot of theater into your shows?
It feels great. It feels really important. I think it feels, on a personal level, I'll talk about that first, it feels like growing up, all I ever wanted to do was be something else than I was.
Uh-huh.
And I think for a long time that led into self-hate and body dysmorphia. And also, you know, we're talking about, like, size, but we're also talking about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And gender dysmorphia, which is, you know, a sort of clinical term. I don't mean it in that way. I mean more just being like, how else can I look? How else can I be? How else, you know, can my body look? And so personally, it's really amazing to have the skills of, like, sewing and costume making, because I can put things on top of the body I already have, and for me it really, like, fills that purpose of being like, wow, I can imagine myself as something different, like, this is amazing, without having to change the, like, physical part of my body, or, like, to want to change, you know, the actual structure of my body. And I think that that's one healthy step, you know, from sort of childhood into then having that control as a performer to be able to do that stuff. I think generally, I think it's really important that we as a society, and particularly like in DIY culture, can celebrate the fabulous and like the sparkling and go beyond what, you know, corporate mainstream fashion provides to us for colors and sizes and fitting. And I think it's really important to go into, you know, activist communities dressed up fabulously, to be, like, sort of profoundly shallow in this way, just in the time to make sure that how we look on the outside creates different possibilities for how we can be on the inside, how we can feel on the inside. And a lot of times what folks will say about my shows is that it made them feel really good. And I think that's partly my music, but I also feel like it's partly just what fun it is to get dressed up. And to see people dressed up, you know, not take for granted that we're just who we are, you know, to see who we can be and how we can be that. I, you know, I'm talking about how amazing it is to do all these things. I also think it's important to have just some understanding that, you know, particularly with male body folks, because that's my experience in sort of ostensibly female clothing or really bright, colorful clothing or sparkly fabrics and that kind of stuff, that it does make you really conspicuous to folks that feel uncomfortable about themselves. So there's a few kind of DIY tips that I could give here, and also just to say that it's not as easy as I'm making it seem. One is things like t-shirt dresses and sweater dresses are really easy because they can be tucked in at the waist and look like t-shirts or sweaters instead of dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to somewhere where you feel safe, you can let it down. There's also, you know, packing a backpack with the clothes. Like, if you're going to an event you want to go to, you can pack it up and pack it in and then, you know, get dressed where you're going. Or you can walk with friends and you can take a buddy places. Or you can learn how to defend yourself in different ways. But just to not make it seem all too simple that's like, oh, everybody should do what they want. You know, there is a level of danger
mm-hmm.
in that, too, because of the fascism, I think, that we have with bodies and clothing and how we expect people to look. So for communities and for individuals.
You've just been listening to an archive of These Things That People Make from January 6, 2011. If you enjoyed the program, please tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM.
You've had a tough morning. Slept in and you got a sore neck. Up all night drinking black coffee, smoking cigarettes. Car won't start, bus won't stop. Birds ain't singing, and the sunlight's pouring the daylights out of you.